Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Who do you say that I am? This is the question Jesus puts to his disciples. Who is this man from Nazareth, the son of a carpenter, with nothing about him that we should desire him, but who comes with healing in his wings? Who is the Son of Man? There's what the world thinks. One of the prophets, like John the Baptist, Isaiah, or Jeremiah. Clearly someone important, with a lot of important things to say. But what do they think, his own disciples? It's Simon who speaks up. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not just any prophet, not just any son of man. He's Messiah, the one all the prophets point to, who doesn't just carry God's words on his lips, but who is God's very word incarnate, his very image and expression, his own beloved Son. Simon doesn't see Jesus as one among many, but the one, the point of it all. He ascribes to Jesus the highest place, the greatest name. And Jesus calls Simon blessed, because the Father has revealed this to him. Simon's eyes have been opened to see something the world cannot. And he doesn't see it because someone explained Jesus to him, told him what to say or how to think about him. Rather, it has been revealed to Simon from within, through direct, unmediated revelation from God himself. Now, in return for his true confession, Jesus is going to tell Simon who he is. And I tell you, you are Peter. This name, Peter, is the first of three things Jesus speaks over Simon. He's called him this before. In John chapter 1, Simon's brother Andrew brought him to meet Jesus. And, quote, Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter, which means rock. Cephas is Aramaic. Peter, or Petros, is Greek. But notice how in today's reading, after Simon's confession of Jesus as the Christ and the Son of the living God, it is no longer "you shall be called rock." Now, it's "you are rock." This is Jesus' confession of Simon. "You are rock" is a present tense identity statement. And on this rock, he says, I will build my church. This is the second thing Jesus speaks over Simon. First identity, then purpose. The purpose of this rock is for Jesus to build his church upon it, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Simon is a foundation stone. We heard in Isaiah this morning that Abraham was also a foundational rock for Israel. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. Israel was cut from the rock that was Abraham. And now the church will be built as living stones upon the rock that is Simon. And Jesus says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. This is the third thing that Jesus speaks over Simon. Authority. Authority to do what? Authority to loose and to bind. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Peter has been given the keys to the church. This harkens back to Eliakim, God's faithful servant during the reign of King Hezekiah. God said of Eliakim, he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. He shall open and none shall shut. He shall shut and none shall open. Simon's new authority also reflects the call of Jeremiah, who writes, the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Identity, purpose, and authority. These are what Jesus speaks over Simon Peter in response to his heart's confession. And just as Abraham was the pattern for Israel, Peter is the pattern for the church, the body of Christ, the pattern for her growth, and the key to her authority in the world. So what is this pattern that Peter sets for us? Who is this rock upon which we are built by Christ? Simon, the son of John, began as a blue-collar fisherman, a man who fell on his knees before Jesus and said, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Simon was a man who tried to walk on water like Jesus, but sank because his faith was too weak. A man who sided with Satan and rebuked Jesus for embracing his cross. A man who saw the glory of Jesus on the mountain, but completely misunderstood what it meant. A man who chose violence over love, cutting off a soldier's ear because he thought he was fighting for God. A man who vowed to never abandon Jesus, yet denied him three times at his hour of greatest need. Simon was a man of many failures, not exactly someone you would describe as a rock. He couldn't be the disciple he so desperately wanted to be. But despite all this, and knowing all that was to come, Jesus called him Peter, rock. And once Jesus gives you a name, once the word of God goes forth, it does not come back empty. It will accomplish what he desires, and it will achieve the purpose for which it was sent. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to fulfill that promise for Simon. Peter was unleashed, and the church was launched into existence, and the gates of hell have not prevailed against it. And Peter swung wide the doors of the kingdom to peoples of all nations, to all who truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. In his first confession that day on the road to Caesarea Philippi, Simon Peter became the pattern for all who put their faith in Jesus, all who ascribe him the highest name and recognize him as their God and their salvation. You might say that Simon Peter became the archetype of the church, the father of all those who would believe in Jesus. Because to each one who believes, as Simon did, God gives a new name and a new purpose and authority to bring his kingdom into the world. And this is not based on anything we have done or can do or will do. It's not based on any merit or gifting or worthiness on our part. Simon became Peter the Rock, not because of Simon, but because of Jesus. He's the one who builds his body, the church. Not any work I do, but what he asks me to do. Not any name I have, but the name he gives me. Not any life I live, but his life in me, the hope of glory. Perhaps this morning you are wondering what God's name is for you. Perhaps you're wondering what your purpose is in his kingdom, what possible authority and agency you could have in this world or in heaven above. It might be that all you have known is your own powerlessness, that your life is absent of any real purpose or meaning, and that the name you have for yourself and carry every day is some version of Simon the sinful, Simon the faithless, Simon the screw-up, Simon the denier. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who holds our destiny in his hand. He asks us this morning, "Who do you say that I am?" Put your faith in him, because he has a new name to give you, and a future, and a hope. He will tell you what he is about to do for you, and through you unto eternity. He will bring it to pass. You have only to wait and trust. As Paul said in our Romans passage today, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. This is his promise to us, a promise he inscribed on the foundation rock of his church. What Jesus did for Simon Peter, he will do for you and for all who believe in his name. All glory be to Christ, our Savior, our King, and our God.